been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the bye week is over. We're back at it. We've got some football to talk about coming up on Sunday. It's the Baltimore Ravens against the Dillon Panthers, right? Right? From Friday Night Lights, the Dillon Panthers.
Right? Permian Panthers.
That's what we're doing here. My buddy Josh is here. We are going to get you ready for this Sunday's game. It's the Ravens. It's the Panthers. There's a little bit of history between these two teams, but Josh, I was doing some research before the show. I mean, there isn't a ton of history between these two teams. I don't follow the Panthers very closely, but these two teams meet every once in a while. It's usually a pretty good game, but I don't know. I feel like we've got Steve Smith's return game when he was with the Ravens. The blood and guts game. Lamar got his very first NFL touchdown against the Carolina Panthers as well. Are you ready for Sunday? I think it's a little odd.
I thought it was the Saints that he got that.
I don't think it was the Saints. I think it was the Panthers.
I checked that. I think it was the Saints.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up now. But
I think I put you on the spot. I think it was same division. You're right. I don't think it, because I knew they played the Saints coming off, you know, the Monday night win 2 weeks ago. I think it was the Saints because I think Lamar came in for like a gimmick play, even if Flacco was playing, and Lamar scored his first NFL touchdown against the Panthers. And we'll put you on the spot. But by the way, while you're looking that up, because I really want to know, you know, not who's right, who's wrong. Now I'm curious because I believe it's the Saints. You know, how was it? How about that treat last week with Mark Andrews, everybody? That was fantastic, wasn't it?
That was unexpected. It was awesome. I don't want to put us over too often, but who else will? I'm going to put us over. We've been working really hard for 10 years on this podcast. We get a show out every single week to you guys. We absolutely love doing it. We love the Baltimore Ravens. And Josh and I figured 10 years ago we were going to start this podcast, not knowing how long it was going to go, how long we were going to do it, all that kind of good stuff. But we decided, hey, we're going to do it. 10 years in, and we finally get an active Baltimore Ravens player on the show. It was a great feeling. It was awesome. I was nervous, but I think we had a great time. It was against the Saints. Well, that was his first. That was his first running touchdown. So what did I say?
Okay.
I know there's history with Lamar and
Lamar and the Panthers. His touchdown. Was actually Flacco was lined up as a wide receiver and Lamar took like a direct snap from like the 1.5 yard line. And it was against the Saints when they were trailing 7-3 at that time in 2018. The Ravens at that time had a 4-2 record. So they put Lamar in on that play. So that was his first career touchdown. It was kind of funny because you know what? Flacco and Lamar share that. Lamar's first NFL touchdown was a rush. People remember Joe Flacco era opened up against the Bengals in 2008, and his first NFL touchdown was a rushing touchdown against the Bengals. Remember that?
Right, right.
That was his first touchdown. So it's oddly enough, funny, you know, two different types of players, but both of their first career touchdowns were rushing touchdowns, believe it or not. So, but yeah, you probably think his first passing, which is obviously – a good trivia question, but yeah, no, his first career touchdown came against the Saints. And speaking of the Panthers Ravens, I mean, you know, you had 4 years ago, the blood and guts game, obviously, you know, with Steve Smith's return, you know, the Panthers came here. What sticks out to me is one of the Panthers games I went to on the road was my very first Ravens road game years ago. It was when Ray and Reed were playing and all that. And I remember Ray Lewis got an interception I think he had a pick six, if I believe it or not. Then also Ed Reed got it, and he lateraled it to, like, DeJuan, I think it was DeJuan Landry at the time, and he scored. So it was back when Ed Reed was getting picks, but also laddering the ball, making plays. So, and they trounced the Panthers in that game in a blowout. So, yeah, I remember, you know, one of the Ravens' very first games against the Panthers way back in the day. So, I mean, but, you know, all in all, what's going on?
I see you got info. It's Lamar Jackson throws his first career touchdown pass. That's where I got it wrong. It was his first touchdown pass against the Panthers. There it is.
All right, got it. Yeah, so there you go. We have it. Now, I appreciate you looking that up and giving us some good nuggets there for Lamar stats. But, no, yeah, I mean, again, we got the Panthers coming into town off a bye week. Ravens look rested, man. I mean, they didn't have some bodies there on Monday Night Football. We had a debut of Tyus Bowser. We had Roquan Smith featured. We broke that all down, and the Ravens had 2 weeks, and obviously we had a sneak peek how Mark Andrews looked, you know, from him and his drills with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club at the gym. Obviously, it doesn't translate to NFL ranks, nor are we his team doctors, but I, you know, folks were asking about it, and I was like, hey, he looked okay. I mean, you saw him. We saw him. Wasn't hobbling. I mean, obviously he had a lower leg injury, like an ankle or something, and also had a shoulder injury, his foot. And, you know, Mark was Mark. You know, he looked normal, looked moving, you know, wasn't favoring anything, wasn't wearing any special equipment. So, and apparently he practiced this week. There was some limitation on his practice, but he did come out and apparently was put out there that the Ravens coming off a bye week, no one missed practice this week because of an injury. It was all rest days, which was good. There was a whole list of limited and D not practice, you know, DNP did not practice. And a lot of fans are like, oh my God, it's been 2 weeks. It's been a month since Mark Andrews played. Where's Gus? Everybody's like freaking out. I'm like, timeout. We're going to get our guys back. Ojabo is going to make his debut Sunday. Tyus Bowser company, Roquan. We're going to get the full gambit of the defense. You know, Gus and Mark should be out there. So, you know, Clayus Campbell and everybody. So we're really expected to, you know, see what the Ravens are all about. You know, the second half sets up good. You know, if this week is any inclination, Brandon, even though the Ravens have the easiest schedule and their opponents are soft, you can't take anybody late in the NFL because what just happened Monday night? The Philadelphia Eagles fell off the unbeaten ranks. The old Washington Commanders got them. And it just shows you. And people were coming off of that using an example saying, hey, guys, even though we play the Panthers, the Jaguars and the Broncos next 3 games and so on, it's like, can't count your chickens for your hatch. You can't count these wins, right? Me and you could probably agree, hopefully, that the Ravens could easily be 9-3 in 3 weeks, beating all three of these teams. But you got to line up, play the games, and they're still an NFL team. And this year, apart from any other years, there's a lot of parity in the NFL. It seems like, I mean, look, the Lions have won 2 straight division games against the Packers and Bears. I mean, listen, anybody can beat anybody, and the Ravens got to really show their best football in order to put these teams away. But it is right there in front of them. You know, they're division leader. It's theirs to lose. And I can't wait to see how it all plays out. But they're getting healthier. J.K. and Marcus Williams should be back by, what, December? So the Ravens are getting healthier. They're all coming off a 3-game winning streak, resting 2 weeks off a bye. And we know historically John Harbaugh's team is great off a bye, aren't they?
Yeah, 11-3, I believe, under John Harbaugh coming on after a bye. But I don't know how much of a pro that is for this team coming off a bye, because the Panthers themselves are kind of coming off a mini bye. They haven't played since last Thursday, where they actually beat the Atlanta Falcons. So it'll be interesting to see if this bye week is going to be a help to these Ravens. I think it was, like, at least just for Ravens personnel, they got to rest up a little bit. But as far as being on the field, it's almost like these teams are kind of matched evenly, because both teams should be very well rested.
Absolutely. And I mean, that bodes well for a great matchup, right? For a football standpoint, you know, it doesn't, you look at it. I mean, obviously the Ravens had more rest, and the Ravens kind of had a mini bye week prior to that. Remember, they played the Thursday prior to the Saints, had their mini bye, and it played to the following Monday. And then even so, there were starters that played. Remember, Mark Andrews got hurt in the Tampa game. And what was it, like 3 weeks ago today? And, right. You know, he's had almost a good month of rest. So, you know, the Ravens, yeah, I know that the Panthers coming off their bye week, but also the Ravens have had, you know, tons of rest for these guys. And, you know, with the Saints game, I felt like they got out relatively clean, right? There was no major, major injuries coming off of that game. They won soundly. And, you know, I expect the Ravens to obviously be a good point, but I think they're better rested than the Panthers right now. You know, as it stands, as we know, what was put out earlier this week, the Ravens will be facing a familiar face. Good old Baker Mayfield returns.
That's right. It's Baker versus Lamar. It's been since the beginning of their both careers, these guys were rivals. Now, I know Baker's on a different team. They're not division rivals anymore. But if you're Baker Mayfield, you got the starter job. You hit yourself in the head a little too often, but you're up against one of the best to play right now, Lamar Jackson. Lamar versus Baker. He's going to have a little bit extra in there because he's played really well in Baltimore.
Most notably 2019, but that was with the Ravens, and that was a long time ago. And the Ravens felt like have had his number since then, right? Remember the great 2018 season where, you know, they ended the season with the season losing interception to put us in the playoffs. You know, 2019, he had the revenge, and then, you know, he got us on that. And then remember we had the crazy Monday night win with Lamar coming out with his heroics. So there's been some memorable games, you know, with Baker there, and you know, especially with the Ravens winning a few of those. And, you know, the Ravens boasted the better of the record in that, right? But, you know, everybody was like, oh, we're scared now, concerned if it's Baker. Yeah, you're always, because he's familiar with playing here in the stadium in this type of weather. And he's familiar, but he's not familiar with the personnel. I mean, yeah, he's played with a few of these players, right? He played against Marcus Peters. He played against Marlon Humphrey. But this pass rush is way different. You know, you look at it since he's played against this, you know, this pass rush has totally changed. You know, you add, I mean, yeah, there's a familiar pieces in there, but you add Ojabo, you add Roquan, they're going to get after it. And I really can't wait to see what schemes are cooked up for Baker and company. And I really expect the defense to really put it on. And we, as we know it, right, the Panthers have made some moves, acquired some draft picks just like the Bears, and they're without Chris McCaffrey. They traded Robbie Anderson away as well because they don't have CMC in the backfield. Doesn't mean they're dangerous. You know, they do have Deonta Foreman, who's come on his own and established himself as one of the premier runners right now, not only for the Panthers, but in fantasy ranks too, right? You know, if you have them, you got to like what you see in your fantasy team, you know, mine included. And, you know, that stopping the run there is going to be key. But the situation here is going to be that Baker and DJ Moore connection, right? I knew, you know, DJ Moore didn't really have that connection with Baker in there to begin with. Kind of felt like he flourished with PJ Walker in there more so. Now that with PJ out with an injury, the backup's going to be Sam Darnold from Baker. So I think, you know, yeah, it spells okay from a personnel standpoint for the Panthers, saying like, okay, we're going to deploy Mayfield. He's familiar. Let's see what he's got. But everybody thought it was kind of on purpose, right? Like, oh, Walker goes down with an injury and insert Baker Mayfield against the Ravens. Brennan, honestly, I'm not too concerned. You know, I'm not saying like I'm just stepping right over the Panthers and looking ahead. No, but, you know, the Ravens are favored by 13, and apparently under John Harbaugh, when the Ravens are favored by that much more, they're undefeated. Now, so, but with this year's NFL, it has been a little bad luck with those kind of big spread teams. You know, I mean, the Eagles are favored by a big spread of money. Look how that turned out. You know, there has been some big spreads this year in the NFL. And it's either been a lot closer game or the underdog won. So not to put any bad juju in this game, but, you know, we hope that with a 13-point spread with the Ravens being favored by that much, the NFL knows that this game shouldn't be close. And, hey, they win by 14 against the Saints on Monday night. They're up 21 late. I think more of the same. I think they're just going to establish the run. They're going to come out with defense just like they were. You know, the offense take care of the football, new turnovers, the same formula, and I think they really get it done handily. I mean, you know, there's really not much to it, right? You know, you're at home, you're rested, it's going to be cold and windy, you know, and you just hope that that same game plan is implemented. But again, we shall see, and hope the Ravens don't get away from it, because I think what they have here is the successful formula going forward, running the football and defense back to its roots.
I think what the Panthers really showed last Thursday is that if you do have a quarterback that does have some wheels and can run a little bit, that they're going to give that quarterback some room. So I think we are going to see Lamar running a lot in this game. I think that Kenyon Drake was going to have a good game. I think that they're going to try their best to keep the ball on the ground. I don't think Lamar will throw as much as he normally would. However, I think with Mark Andrews back in the game, Isaiah Likely in there as well, that we potentially could see Lamar mix it up a little bit. But I think if Lamar can use his legs more against the Panthers, the Ravens are going to be able to score more points. For the Ravens defense, I think Marlon Humphrey is definitely going to be key here. You know, if Baker Mayfield does get the ball out, he does have to throw it. I think Marlon Humphrey is the guy that really has to show off. Marcus Peters, he still has not really done well this year. So maybe this could be a confidence builder game for Marcus Peters. I think that would really help him out. The secondary is probably the only thing I'm really questioning with this team. I think the Ravens need to, their defense needs to do what they did with the Saints and absolutely just suffocate that Panthers offense. I think having Roquan Smith there and Calais Campbell and Justin Houston, the Ravens defense needs to get to Baker Mayfield, not give him a lot of time, keep him frazzled. And I can't wait to see this defense. Like, I know that there are a lot of people that hate low scoring games and stuff like that, but I think this Ravens defense is definitely something special. I think I sent it to you last Thursday during the bye week. I think it was Brandon Marshall was on the Paramount Plus show with Ray Lewis and said
Inside the NFL,
this is the best Ravens team he's ever seen with Ray Lewis sitting right there. I think this defense is something to like. This is like an earth shattering defense. This defense isn't going to give you 2 seconds of time. As long as everyone can stay healthy, I think that's the most important thing. With Lamar on the offensive side, using his legs, being able to use his arms with his arm with a couple good targets, I don't see this game getting away from the Ravens. But this defense, I think they're going to keep this Panthers team to a low score. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see these guys. I can't wait. Like, I am so excited to see David Ajabo because he's a guy that everyone said he's a first rounder, and then he tore his Achilles and got to the second round, and the Ravens took a shot. Will that pay off? That is the big question mark right here. From what I understand, he has been working with Adafe Owe a lot. He's been putting in the work. He's been staying extra hours. He's been studying the playbook. He should be ready to go, and I'm shocked it's already. I thought it was going to be late December when we were going to see this guy on the field, but here we are. It's almost Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and we're going to see him already on the field. Man, that guy is motivated. So I can't wait to see the impact he's going to have on this team.
Bro, me and you, right? I really can't wait to see. I was excited when we drafted him. I felt like at that time the Ravens got a steal. A lot of folks were a little pessimistic about that because, hey, they left a little value in there because we knew we were going to get him half a year. I'm like, who cares? You don't play for half a season, you get his talent. He's first-round talent, dude. I remember where I was sitting and who I was sitting with. And when the Ravens drafted him, bro, I stood up and I fist-pumped. I was like, yeah, like I was excited. Like I was like, dude, slam dunk. Like, yes. Like I just couldn't believe it. And they already see him back and being ready to be on the field is really exciting to see what he can do, especially where the Ravens are defensively and positionally in the division where they're for the first place right now. And coming off a 3-game winning streak. So I'm really excited to see what Ajabo Owe that line's gonna do. Roquan Queen. These linebackers are going to just be flying around. And I'm going to put it out there. I expect maybe, 5 sacks on Baker this Sunday?
I'm
going to give a healthy 5.
At least, minimum.
I would like to see what we did against the 49ers on that Thursday night game that one time. You know, I believe it was Thanksgiving. Yeah, we played – and then we played Niners on Thanksgiving. And I think it was like – we had 6 sacks and Suggs had 3 of them. Like Suggs had a hat trick and we sacked – at that point, it was Alex Smith under center 6 times. So I think, I can't wait to get back to that, you know, and getting after the quarterback, which is good. Put a pin in that because I'm going to bring up something later on for you as well once we, you know, finish breaking down this matchup. But, you know, overall, again, you know, I see the pass rush being the focal point and then the running game and the offense being the focal point as well. So those are 2 things that I'm eyeing on as continuing to be a good success 1-2 punch for the Ravens on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I'm happy with what we've seen. We're recording this Thursday afternoon. I'm happy to see that the injury report was pretty minimal for the Ravens after the bye week. Like we said, there's a lot of veteran rest days on Wednesday. Mark Andrews, Gus Edwards, they were at least limited, but we'll see if they make it out onto the field. But even without Mark Andrews there, I think Isaiah Likely is a great guy to step in and be a favorite target for Lamar Jackson. Lamar likes to throw to the tight ends. We know that. And we know the wide receiver position is fine with Devin Duvernay, guys like that. But he's going to use those tight ends more often than the wide receivers. So I think that Lamar's going to have a great game. I think the defense should have a great game. My biggest concern is just getting out of there without any injuries. Let's do that. I want everyone to be healthy. That's my thing. I want everyone to be able to get out of this game, and I want minimal injuries. I don't want any injuries. I should say that. Not minimal. Yeah. I don't want any injuries here for this team because we still got half a season to go. There's a lot of people out there, like we brought up Mark Viviano's tweet 2 or 3 weeks ago, that they're saying that the Ravens kind of have like a cupcake schedule, but the Panthers just beat the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football.
And they beat the Bucs with PJ Walker, bottom of 3 points, we know.
That's right. I mean, like you said, the Commanders won against the Philadelphia Eagles. Nobody saw that coming on Monday night. So, like, any given Sunday, Thursday, whatever, and any given Monday, any given Black Friday starting next year. So anything can happen. I don't want to count this Carolina Panthers team out. I don't want to look past them. But I think this Ravens defense is something special. I want to see what they can do on Sunday. I'm so excited to see what happens. Like, I know everybody gets on their feet when Lamar's out on the field, and we love this guy. I'm a huge Lamar fan myself. But, man, this defense, like, I'm like giddy waiting to get these guys on the field because I just feel like they're just going to put so much fear into the opponent's souls is what they're going to do. I'm so excited. I'm more excited than you are for Christmas when you're going to get Ranch on a Branch as a gift, right?
I knew you were going to have to go with that because you stole my thunder because I was going to say it's like when you get giddy when you get wings and blue cheese, right? and this is going to be a big fight to the end. But I also get giddy because I'm a defensive guy. I love it. Like, back in the Ravens, it's like defense, like nasty – you know, to flying to the ball, get to the quarterback, turnovers, like wrecking havoc. Remember the organized chaos. You don't know where they're coming from. Like, you know, yeah, Lamar and his razzle dazzle play in the ground and pound game with the Ravens right now. You know, it's great, right? It's exciting. But, you know, yeah, scoring points is always exciting. But I think defensive play, me and you right there, man, at least we can agree on that instead of our wing sauces here.
I tell you, when I saw that Ranch on a Branch on the news, I was like, oh my god, I know what I'm getting Josh for Christmas now. And I went on the website, they were already sold out, unfortunately. But
yeah, my wish came true.
Just ridiculous Ranch on a Branch. I'm like, what is this? Oh my god.
So with this home game, right?
Yeah,
comes a change in the forecast. You know how we had that warm spell last week,
right?
It is gone.
It's freezing.
Yeah, winter came quick. Apparently we literally went from like, we had a little fall, we had a little bit of frost, and we went back to like springtime, like 70s and warm. The weather for M&T Bank Stadium, 40 degrees, breezy and cold, real feel 30, and the shade is going to be 28. Winds at 14, gusts could be up to 32 miles an hour. It's going to be a little cold.
Now let me show you. So November 5th, me and my dog were on the beach chilling. Just sitting there listening to Christmas carols with our toes in the sand, working on our suntans. That's what we were doing. And now it is November 17th as we record this, and there were snow flurries this morning in Baltimore. That's what happened. That's how quickly this changed. So it is definitely going to be chilly. We know Lamar, he's a Florida guy. Hopefully he's used to this weather by now, but he doesn't like the cold. He is not a cold weather dude.
Neither does Kenyon Drake. Did you see what he had to say about it?
No, what did he say?
Kenyon Drake tweeted out today, I'm not used to cold home games, LOL. I'm like, yeah, you think? Welcome to Baltimore. What we know is the Ravens got to take care of the teams in front of them and take care of their own business. They have 4 division games in December. I can't wait to get it going. And in January, obviously, with New Year's Day being against the Steelers. You know, I really can't wait to see how it all plays out. You know, but it's going to start the second half after the bye week against the Panthers. And, let's get going, man. I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. And can't wait. Did I say I can't wait?
Now, as we are recording this midday on Thursday, I do want to point out that Ravens practice is going on right now. The portion open to the media, Mark Andrews is not practicing in front of the media today. He may come out later like he did on Wednesday. So it'd be very intriguing. Do you save Mark Andrews if he's not 100%? Do you save him for this game so he doesn't re-aggravate anything?
I think so. I would. I mean, okay. The way Lifley's emerging, and now they might have Kolar out there. I think it could certainly be another rest day. Now, you certainly hope so. I mean, you hope not, I should say. You know, Gus Edwards has already been a second straight day limited participant. You know, maybe they're just slow rolling Mark. I don't know. You got to hope that – well, tomorrow's going to be an inclination. If Mark's still limited and or does not practice – now, if he does not practice, I'm highly concerned. They're probably going to put him out on doubtful. But the way it's trending, I wouldn't be surprised if we get that injury report for Sunday and it has Ravens players, Mark Andrews with a doubtful designation. I wouldn't be surprised at all, or even if he's out. But we want to see him back. I hope he's back. It's been 3 weeks. Let's go, Mark. I know you're in the show last week, but hope you're listening this week. Let's go. We're rooting for you to get out in the field. We can't wait to see what you can do.
Yeah, it looks like Gus Edwards is a full participant in this practice good today, deals. Which is good. Deals. He was limited yesterday. DeSean Jackson not playing in front of the media or not practicing in front of the media. So he may be out on Sunday. We shall see.
Oh boy, with the hearing, yep, from last week.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. I think both of us can probably agree on this being a Ravens win against the Carolina Panthers. Josh, what do you think the score is going to be?
I think it's going to be 30-10.
30-10. Okay.
30-10. Cover the spread.
I do think the Ravens will come away with a win. I think it's going to be, let's go 27-13.
Ooh, I had that in my head, but I didn't want to pick the same score as the last time. But It was like funny because I was going to about to say 27-13. I'm like, no, that was the score of the Saints. So I kind of put 3 points less for the Panthers and then 3 points more for the Ravens. That's kind of how I did.
I would like it to be 31-13, but like I can't figure out they would like where that 31 would come from. So
it would be four touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I'll go 31-13 then. That's what I'll do. I'll do one more point than you.
Okay. Yeah, one up me. I see how it is.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, so I feel like we're wrapping things up. I want to ask you because that interesting conversation came up this week on NFL Live. They were talking about the running game for the NFL and running schemes and how, because we brought up earlier the show with the defense and Ojabo and Roquan and Patrick Queen and all these guys get after quarterback. And what has teams reared up to do? Because now it's a passing league, right? Get after the quarterback. Can they get after the quarterback? Like you hear that all the time. And they were talking about it and the panel kind of opened up discussion and they kind of pointed out that why are teams this year supposedly, because they said like scoring's down, but the average yards per carry and average yards per rush is up and all that. And there's a return back to the running game instead of that pass heavy league, right? You see preached and kind of pushed all the time and with the rules and all that, not hitting the quarterback certain ways and defensive pass interference and everything. It's hard to cover right now. The Ravens, obviously their success last few games have rushed it for well over 200 yards, and they did it again. Remember, starting in the first half, they kind of went pass happy in the first half against Tampa Bay, went back to a run-heavy offense in the second half, and ended up beating them soundly. So, you know, which makes me believe that they were pointing out how because NFL defenders are now quicker and faster to get after the quarterback and make coverages with tight ends over the middle, that now NFL teams are actually figuring out to do zone reads and zone runs and everything else. That's why Kenyon Drake's been so successful with the RPO, because he was like, why is he so successful now? Where did he come from? It's like, because the Ravens are doing zone rushes and zone reads on that, where the defenders, they're getting younger, quicker, faster, called the crash the line, crash the pocket, get to the quarterback. Well, now the running game's flourishing because now you don't have these big, like, remember, like the big Ray Lewis linebackers of old, like they stop the middle and run stoppers, you know, maybe that's why they went out and got Roquan, right? Because you've seen what he did against Alvin Kamara last game, right? Just plug that hole. Remember what Ray Lewis used to do. Feel like the Ravens know that and they're getting back to it. It's good to have other guys to get after the quarterback because pressure is important to throw timing off of that. But If you haven't done it, I shared it on my social media. I retweeted, I think, but it's out there on Dan Orlovsky's one of the panelists there. He's on his Twitter. It's on some of the others. So give it a listen if you haven't. It's a good, well, I would say almost a good 5 to 10 minutes. They discuss this matter, and Brandon, it just caused you to think, because they were saying basically how they don't have big guys to plug the middle no more. Like, remember how the Ravens defense of old, like Sam Adams, rest in peace, Tony Siragusa, and those kind of guys on the line, they eat up the defensive line guys, right?
Right.
They allow linebackers to go free. Now it's almost like, you know, they're preaching blitzing and getting at the quarterback. They just brought up that now offenses are taking advantage of those smaller linebacking core and those smaller guys that when they get at the quarterback, they're running right past them all and getting into the second level. So that's why they're kind of pointing out that because of that, the running game has had success. And maybe that's why the Ravens, not saying it's a gimmick, right? Like, the Ravens are really, truly running the ball and it's been working, but, you know, they could be exploiting somehow the league is turning, like, oh, they're going to go pass heavy. The Ravens are bucking the trend. They're like, we're not going to pass heavy. Lamar only passed it 8 times, remember, in that one, and against the Bucs, 8 for 8. So, and they ran the ball like crazy. So I feel like, again, we talked about it prior, before, when the Ravens were faltering and had the, you know, one loss back to a 500 record, you know, six weeks into the season, where we kept saying, what's our identity? And then Ryan Stanley came out with his statement. We're getting back to the ground and pound game, who we are. And then you're seeing the defense come up, me and you are giddy again. And I feel like they're back to that roots, running the football, AAC North style, hit you in the mouth and play defense. None of this. Now, I get it. Everybody wants Lamar to do this. Lamar's not Mahomes. Lamar's not this. He's Lamar Jackson. He's going to throw it the way he's going to throw it. He's going to run it the way he's going to run it. Be efficient with the football. Don't turn the ball over. You know, asking him to throw it for 45, 50 times a game at 400 yards and 4 passing touchdowns, it is beyond him. Yeah, he's capable of it, but that's not the offense we're in. So I just thought it was, you know, pretty unique that situation came up and they were discussing that, because it caused me to think what the Ravens schemes are and what they're attacking.
I think Eric DaCosta and the Joker have one thing in common, and that's they're not monsters. They're just ahead of the curve. And I think he saw this coming. That's why he drafted Lamar Jackson so many years ago. I think we had Joe Flacco, who was a great quarterback with a great arm. He still is a great quarterback, but he sits back in the pocket. He can just throw that football with accuracy down the field. He can command his offense, but we needed somebody to be more mobile, because I think he saw that trend of quarterbacks getting out of the pocket and running and throwing and being a dual threat. Now we see that the rest of the NFL has kind of caught up with what Eric DaCosta was doing. Now he's getting those big guys on defense, and we have Calais and Justin Houston and Roquan Smith. That's why you go after him, like you said, to go after these guys that are going to be more mobile. So I think that Eric DaCosta is just ahead of the curve. I think he can see that trend, and I think he's preparing for it if he hasn't already just prepared for it to shut this down. Like I said, this defense is going to just suffocate these offenses they're up against because of this type of play that they're going for. I think they just were ahead of the curve, and I think I love it.
That's a great, great point, man. Now, I hope that they're ahead of the curve. I think that's what they're showing. They're showing their hands, saying, hey, listen, we see where things are trending and we're going to play this way. And, you know, maybe that does get back to the old NFL roots, especially the Ravens roots, you know, ground and pound football, defensive style. And we're going to get down and ugly, and you're going to get to a street fight with this team. That's what I miss about that. It's like, you knew when you're playing, you know, the Ravens outside division, even a divisional game, it was smash mouth street, you know, street alleys. Like, let's go fight. Let's bring your fight club. You bring our fight club and we're going to hit you. Like, now none of this, like, you know, zone reads and throwing the ball. Like, to me, that's not exciting. You know, yeah, it's fantasy and all that, but dude, I love an old school 10 to 13 game. You know, you might call me crazy, but that's just what I love. You know, it's the anti-fantasy guy. But again, fantasy football ruins reality football, because they're not out there to perform for you and your fantasy team. They're out there to, you know, do their best job. And if your guy gets 0 touchdowns, so what? You know, I'd rather my fantasy team go winless and the Ravens, you know, win every game and go win it all. Like, I don't care. You know, yeah, I'm a fan first and all that, but also I play fantasy and understand the game that way. And fantasy's fun. And I love fantasy football. Bond with my dad with it, you know, bond with some friends with it. But, you know, again, give me that low scoring defensive chess match any day, bro. I don't like the shootouts, because I don't know. I think I'm just old school. I'm an old head.
All right, Josh. Well, for this episode of The Call, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just join our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join us over there. Now, I know we said last week we were going to do the touchdown candy corn taste test this week, but I think we're going to delay it another week, maybe do something a little bit closer to Thanksgiving here in the U.S. We apologize for that delay, but we're going to do it next week, and we'll set up a stage event over on Discord. So make sure you join our Discord, and we will do the show there live. You guys can ask us some questions and stuff like that as well. So we're going to do a live show next week, the week of Thanksgiving, over there on Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It's Ravens, it's Panthers. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
You betcha, Brandon. Can't lose is the mantra, and hopefully the Ravens can't lose another game all year. How sweet would that be? I mean, we get it. Schedule sets up favorable for them against the first game against the Panthers. But, hey, as we discussed and as we talked about and as we know, any given Sunday, Monday, Thursday, as we play in the NFL, any team can do anything, anytime. Got to always be ready and be prepared. And I think the Ravens are just that. They are ready and they prepare for anything in this second half of the season. Ravens are actually right now 6-3, sitting atop the AFC North, and let's keep it that way. Panthers are the next team in our way after the bye. Ravens are great after a bye. They are favored heavily. How about it, Baltimore? Let's rise up and let's root hard. Ravens Panthers Sunday at the bank. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.